1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The word of God for the people of God.
Again, I want to express appreciation to you for spending Christmas Eve with us. And I am especially grateful for everyone who's got a part in the service this evening. Heather, Angel, and I are the pastors here at the church, and we count it a privilege and a joy. We're grateful to Dina and Jane and James, who are all part of our normal worship team, and then Joyce Tennant, my mom, who's a guest musician with us, Bob and Igor in the sound booth, everyone who has helped make this service come together. We're very, very grateful, and we're happy to see you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, you in the form of the Spirit would touch each heart here tonight. Speak to our hearts, touch us, fill us with your love. Fill us with your love to overflowing, so that as we greet each other, your love pours out of us. As we greet the people in our lives and the Christmas parties we'll attend after worship or wherever we go, people we see out and about, your love will pour forth from us, and people will look at us and see you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. An angel stood before them. Them refers to the shepherds who were out with their sheep on the hillside, tending their flocks outside of Bethlehem that night. Luke writes that they were terrified, and you would be too, and so would I, trembling in awe if visited by a divine messenger. Angels appear at various points in the Bible to convey the message from God to human beings. Anybody know the most common first words spoken by angel in almost every one of these encounters? What is it, Mary Grace? Say that again? I don't think that's it. It's fear not. Don't be afraid. And they got to say, I know, Phil, I knew you were knew I wasn't going to call on you. But it's fear not, because when we see angels, we humans are overwhelmed. To Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who we meet in Luke chapter 1, the angel had to tell him, do not be afraid. Similarly to Mary, fear not. And then to these shepherds. Can we even hear the words of the message the angel brings, or are we simply too shaken from the encounter with the otherworldly? Is it so beyond us that we can't even take it in? Well, hopefully, we can hear the message. The literal translation of the Greek word that we translate angel is messenger. Angels literally are God's messengers. When an angel comes, what he has to share with us is something that comes straight from God. It's important, and it's a message that we need. That night, in the fields near Bethlehem, the message was, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this night in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. All people. The world is so big. Life along the coast here in North Carolina moves at a different pace than it does here in the Triangle. That's why we in the Triangle like to go to the coast, so we can slow down and enjoy life a little bit. And our daily experiences here are not all the same as our fellow North Carolinians west of here who live in the mountains. And some of the traditions that we have differ from the folks who live in Cherokee, North Carolina. All this diversity, and this is just in our state. Think about all the different cultural expressions throughout the United States and in the rest of the world. The angel speaking to those trembling shepherds promised good news for all people, including the millions of people we will never meet. I have in mind one or two people that touched my life in an odd way, and I'll always remember it, and I'll never meet them. And I didn't meet them when it happened. In the mid-1980s, our family had just made a big move from Detroit, Michigan to Roanoke, Virginia. And so we had only lived in Virginia a few years. And every December, we drove back to Detroit for Christmas. We stayed at my grandmother's house. My mom's mom lived on 7 Mile Road in Detroit. She lived alone there. And on Christmas Eve, we would, as a family, taking her with us, go out to where my dad's very large family lived in the suburb where I grew up, Clawson, a suburb north of Detroit. And my mom's mother would come along, and we'd stay out there, stay late. Our family game was pinochle, and we would play pinochle late into the night, enjoying time with family until all of us kids were asleep, and my dad would carry us out to the car, and I'd wake up back at Grandma's house and wonder how I got there. One night, we returned to Grandma's home to discover there had been visitors. Robbers. They came in the house, they opened the presents, they stole anything they thought was valuable, and for a few minutes, This is my memory accounting for the time. We felt pretty violated. But as I recall, we quickly gained some perspective. None of us was hurt. We were healthy. We were okay. They took things, but they're just that, things. We had each other. We had just enjoyed a wonderful night of great happiness with family. How broken were the lives of these guys in Detroit that they thought the way to spend Christmas Eve was to go and break into people's houses and take their stuff? The angel said, "I promise, good news of great joy to you this day is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord." And this is a message for all people, because all people need a Savior. Those guys who broke into grandma's house need a Savior. Now we're here enjoying Christmas Eve, singing familiar songs, and not but a few miles from here, we know that right here in Chapel Hill there are families struggling so badly, sometimes they have to decide, do I pay the electric bill or buy food this week? Forget presents and a Christmas tree and decorations. They need to survive, but they can't forget presents and decorations in the Christmas tree, because it's in their face. The wealth of others is in their faces. They're living hand to mouth in a land of plenty, and they see everyone else who seems to have it so good. I bring you good news of great joy. To you this night is born a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. A Savior for all people, because every one of us needs a Savior. It's a message for all people. Maybe even sadder than the desperately poor family at Christmas is the wealthy one with the $50,000 car in the driveway of the million-dollar house. And inside the house, happiness is all gone. There's loneliness, no love and laughter. There's divorce, addiction. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. To you this night is born a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. It's a message for all people, because all people need a Savior. Tonight, Christmas Eve, maybe many of us know soldiers who are serving in the military. They carry rifles and look for enemies far from home. Why? Why on this night is this their story? Because war doesn't take a holiday. Nation against nation, man against man, we humans kill each other. The angel promised good news of great joy. To you this night is born a Savior, who is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. A message for all people, because all people need a Savior. We have police officers, firefighters on duty, some from our church family, tonight on Christmas Eve. Why? Well, as the story I shared a little while ago shows, crime doesn't take Christmas Eve off. The world is broken, and broken people either sit in their own hurt or they do things to hurt others. We, each one of us, need that angel's word, that messenger's message. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. To you, to us, this night is born a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Promised One of God, Christ the Lord. It's a message for all people. It's a message for us, because we need a Savior. We've had a lot of joy in and around our church throughout the holidays. There have been beautiful worship services. All those kids you saw during the children's sermon put on a great performance of a Christmas pageant a few weeks ago. We had our big potluck. This building has been full of laughter, meaningful moments, some surprises, and a full share of joy and good cheer. Our joy comes from the beauty and the power of the story we tell, the story of Jesus' birth. Right in the middle of the story, from the mouth of the angel, we're reminded that we need a Savior, and we're promised that the Savior that we need has come. Even if you think you have it all together, you still need the Savior as much as anyone else in the world. This war-torn, crime-filled, drug-addicted, heartbroken, lonely world is the way that it is because of sin. Sin cuts us off from God. Sin is the overall category for the choices we make that hurt ourselves and others. Sin is the decisions we make in our lives that get us off track, off the path that God has for us. And every one of us sins every day. This is why Jesus had to come and be in the role he was in. To us is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. This Christmas Eve, I wish for you happiness. I hope everyone here has a happy night, a joy-filled Christmas. And as you do, I invite you to consider your relationship with the Savior. As you ponder that, consider that the Gospel of Luke promises that Jesus is the Savior you need. The God who can be touched, as Heather taught us in the children's sermon, which is a sermon for all of us, all children's sermons are. The God who can be touched saves us. Throughout his gospel, Luke repeatedly shows his sense of what this salvation is, this salvation Jesus brings. Salvation is the reversal of status. We were in tension with God, but with our faith in Jesus, we're put in a right relationship with God. We were enslaved by sin, unable to break free. Jesus breaks the chains. He is the truth. And when we know him, we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. Right now, we live in a world of crime and war, addiction, broken relationships, and death. He brings a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, a kingdom of justice and peace. When the Savior visits and we receive forgiveness, we have new life. We become new creations, a part of a new community as we're adopted as sons and daughters of God. When can we hope to begin to see this salvation that we're promised? In Luke 4, Jesus, the baby grown up, says, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled." It'll be finalized at his second coming, and we long for that day when pain and death are finally and completely overthrown. But even today, as we live in the world with sin around us, upon giving our lives to Christ, we begin to lean into the eternal kingdom and live a kingdom ethic of love and grace right here, right now. We begin to spread something different than what we see in the world around us. Salvation begins the day we visit the manger and recognize that the baby there is the Savior, and thus we worship him as our Lord. Who is this salvation for? We trust God's messenger, the angel. The promise made to the shepherds is for each and every one of us. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. The salvation is for you. Now only you know the ins and outs, the highs and lows of your story. Only you know what brought you here tonight, but I know your story, just as mine does, needs a Savior. The same Jesus who will save the world from humanity's attempts to destroy it loves you and wants to save you from the pain and heartache that you have to carry. If you'd like to learn more about how this Savior, born Christmas night, can be your Savior, who completely changes the direction of your life, I'd love to sit down with you and hear your story over a cup of coffee. Maybe together we can just talk and you tell me your story. We can pray together and ask the Lord to come into your life and change your life's direction. If you're interested in that, please just grab me after the service or connect with me in the next couple of weeks, because this Savior that is born for all the world has been born for you because God loves you. I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. We'll close our service by singing together Silent Night. Henry and Marone are going to come down the center aisle. We're going to take our light from the Christ candle.